We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Angelo Cataldi. Mornings 5:30 till 10 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Good morning, everybody. Wow, this is a bonus 2 minutes for people today. Oh, it's 5:58 and we're back. Good job hitting the mark on that one. Anyway, this is good because
do what I'm told.
No, the alarms will be going off in 2 minutes, but I want to see if anybody's already up because I have a special request today, and I'm not going to lie to you. When I come on, I am fully prepared to discuss in minute, minuscule detail any sports issue you might have. I feel I am in an authoritative position on this show.
Yeah.
I feel I am.
It's
others
about
might,
time. It's only been 29 years.
Others might disagree, but that's the way I feel. I am not at all an authority on the weather.
No.
And we have been trying with no success so far this morning to determine exactly what the weather will be from 8 to midnight tonight in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the site of the Eagles-Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
So I and Al, I know a lot of people, my son's a little bit that way too, and he happens to be a Giants fan, unfortunately. But does anybody out there, can anybody out there look at all these gizmos that are on the internet right now and tell me unequivocally what the weather will be from 8 to midnight? Hmm. Because Al, we are trying to project who's going to win this football game.
Yes.
It is utterly essential that the Eagles win this game.
Yeah.
There is not, Rhea, if they don't win this game, for the next 10 days, we will just be basically planning the funeral for the year after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. We're planning the funeral if they lose tonight.
If they lose, I told you they should just fold.
So here's what I need to know. In order to truly be able to bring knowledge and class to the show today, I need to know what the weather's going to be from 8 to midnight.
I'm looking at the hourly for East Rutherford.
But it's changed. See, we did that too. And what we learned is that everyone's got a different thing.
Yeah, Weatherbug has no rain from
8 to midnight.
Well, this one says, when does this stop? Like 12 p.m.
All right. Well, almost. Look, here's what I people out there, Kate Bilo's coming out at 8:20, yeah, mm-hmm. but she enjoys sleeping. She works late at night.
Yeah.
I can't bring Kate out at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The people from CBS3 are here, Al, but they have different hours.
Well, they're not weather
and
people.
You know that cute girl that interviews us, Al? Very nice lady.
Yeah.
She said that she's hearing torrential rain.
No, she's wrong.
Here.
Oh.
Here.
Oh, yeah, today.
No, tonight.
Oh, really?
I only care. Do I care for rain today? Where am I going? I'm hoping to get some sleep. Yes, I have a roof.
Well,
is anybody out there a weather buff that can look on the internet and tell us with quite a bit of certainty what's going to happen weather-wise up in the Meadowlands from 8 to 12 tonight?
I'd rather bet on the weather than the game.
I know what you mean on that. In fact, I'm going with that. So I need somebody out there. I will find the there are people out. They send in like the temperature from a lot of different communities into CBS all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And here's Joe Schmo from Contrahawk, and it's 73 degrees there.
Yeah.
And then they'll go to another place like King of Prussia. It's 74 degrees. Oh, my God. Let me go to King of Prussia. It's much warmer.
Problem is they're all in their living
room. 1 degree. All right, anyway, if you're a weather buff, please check on this and help us out. So it might affect that prediction, although I've already tweeted mine out.
Oh.
And Al, I'm using a little reverse psychology today.
Mm.
Rather than look at the Eagles, which we do, we know what's going on with the Eagles. They're a massive disappointment right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
Epic disappointment so far. I decided, everything's relative, right, Al?
Yeah. You've
been telling me all week that as bad as the Eagles are, they're in a horrible division.
Yeah.
And the other teams in the division are all pretty bad, too, right now. Correct?
Yeah, nobody's over 500.
You know what? Maybe, since everything's relative, that the Eagles are much better off you know, playing a division foe tonight up in their ballpark.
Yeah.
I think it might be a good thing for the Birds. So I decided to look at the last 5 days in the life of a New York Giant. Because, Al, if the Eagles are a disappointment this year,
mm-hmm.
the New York Giants are an oil slick on the landscape of American sports.
Mm-hmm. Oil slick.
An oil slick on the landscape of American sports. Write that one down. You might want to get that in an update.
Okay.
They are a disaster. Al, they're such a disaster. It's fun to listen to this. All right? Let's start Sunday before their game against Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Al? Odell Beckham Jr. very rarely grants an interview.
Mm-hmm.
But he granted an interview. What was this, Fox? It must have been Fox. Anyway.
Yes.
He grant.
Yes,
he
ESPN grants, with Josina, yeah.
Oh, he's with, oh, yeah. What's her name?
Josina Anderson. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so Josina Anderson's there at ESPN. And Odell Beckham has agreed to do this interview, but there's a couple little riders. One is Lil Wayne has to sit next to him and every once in a while grunt his approval. Whatever it takes, Odell, we just want to talk to you. So you will, Al, when you hear this cut, you will hear an occasional grunt in the background. That's Lil Wayne, the famous rapper, all right? And Odell's there. They never fully explained why Lil Wayne was there.
He's a big fan of his.
But that isn't normally a good reason to bring him to an interview and sit next to him.
I think that's how they got the interview.
Fine, whatever it took, all right? But Al, Odell Beckham Jr., who is nothing but a truck, he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
He is one of the most brilliant athletes I have ever witnessed. He's amazing. But he's also nothing but trouble. I mean, he can't get through a day without getting in trouble somewhere. So he's there with Lil Wayne. And what's her name? Josina. She asks him about Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Al, normally you would not even try to take a shot at the guy throwing you the football.
No, that's my quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you would expect to hear. Here is the exchange with Lil Wayne and Odell Beckham and Josina on ESPN Sunday.
I feel like I could score a touchdown the first half, touchdown the second half. Honestly, I feel like I could score every quarter if I'm given a chance, but it's not the case. So,
do you have an issue at quarterback then?
I don't know. Like I said, I feel like he's not going to get out the pocket. He's not. We know Eli's not running. But is it a matter of time issue? Can he still throw it?
All right. Now, here's the thing. Let me try to help you with this because I listed a couple of times so I could get it all down. He's basically said there's no way Eli's ever going to scramble away from anything.
No.
And then he raised the issue of whether or not they were going to be able to do anything while Eli was the quarterback. He openly raised that issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do we know? Well, the guy's been your quarterback for 16 years. He's 37 years old. I think you would know by now whether. And the truth is, Al, Eli's done. They just haven't announced it yet. He's done. Mm-hmm. And so you got the ace receiver openly questioning the quarterback.
Correct.
Right? Now it's time to play the game. All right? The Giants play the best game of the season for them on the road against Carolina.
Yeah.
They have an epic comeback in the fourth quarter. Al, Saquon Barkley makes a great dive for the corner.
It's terrific.
Of the
I thought he was hurt.
Hits the pylon. I was hoping he was hurt.
Mm-hmm. They
get the lead, and there's a little over a minute to go. And somehow they do allow Cam Newton to come back down just past midfield. Yeah. They got one play left. They got to do something.
I wish I could have seen it.
What's that? Oh, that's right. If you may have missed this play because you could have watched 3.5 hours and Fox 29 switched it off right at the last second. This is an Al Bob Poppin, WFAN, a sister station up there. Mm-hmm. This is the absolute essence of professionalism. Because if this were me or this were even Merrill, our good friend Al, they would not be excited when something like this happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in desperation, the Panthers send out Graham Gano to attempt the 63-yard field goal. Longer than he had done, 1 yard less than the all-time NFL record.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how the game ended.
6 seconds to go, and the Giants leading by one. Jensen to snap it. The snap is good. The kick on its way, end over end. It's got the distance. It is... 4 yards out, and the Panthers beat the Giants. Right. 30.
Why is Bob happy? That's his team, right? Anyway, that's the only thing separating the Giants from having the same record as the Eagles, 2-3. They're 1-4 because of that kick. All right. So after the game, Pat Shermer, you may remember him. He was part of the staff here with Chip Kelly. And one thing we learned quickly, because Pat would do these weekly interviews with the as the offensive coordinator, he had nothing to say ever. Rhea, would you like to review all the memorable things Pat Shermer had to say in his 3 years here with Chip Kelly?
Pat was a nice man.
Yeah. Oh, no. Nice guy. Yeah. Had nothing to say.
Yeah.
Now he's in New York. Gets a little dicier up there. Right, Al, because they don't even care about the game. Okay. They want to talk about Odell dissing Eli. So after the game, Mr. No Personality, Pat Shermer, comes out, and he's angry because they only want to ask about the comments, right? So finally, Al, he has enough, and he speaks in two languages. Listen.
I'm going to answer all the drama questions right now, and I'm going to go back to what I said, all right? I addressed it with Odell. I addressed it with our team. I publicly declared that I didn't agree with his comments. And I asked anybody that was interested, if they wanted clarification, go to Odell, because he's a big man. And that's all I'm saying on it. Finito. Done.
I believe finito, Al, in Spanish is end. It's over.
Finito.
Finito. Right? So he said finito, but it wasn't over.
Oh, no?
Because we had not yet heard from Lil Wayne. See, Lil Wayne was sitting there, and he did not like what happened the next day.
Uh-huh.
Right? On Monday, Eli Manning made light of Lil Wayne. Because Eli Manning had not seen the interview in which Odell dissed Eli, but he thought he could have some fun with it. So he told one of the writers, it's not on tape, but he told one of the writers, I wasn't aware of it. I don't really follow that closely, Lil Wayne.
There's nothing wrong with
Which
that.
Which really, when you think about it, you wouldn't think Eli Manning would have like all of the records of Lil Wayne.
No, I don't think they're from the same area code, no.
Lil Wayne wasn't happy.
No.
Not happy in the least.
No.
And Lil Wayne let loose on Instagram. Here, ladies and gentlemen, Lil Wayne.
Eli, man, every time I'm doing an interview about you, and somebody is about to, even, it don't have to be an interview, even in the crib, amongst the homies, every time somebody badmouth you, first thing I'm going to say is, man, listen, I got an uncle that was doing time that remember seeing Eli, Archie, Peyton, Cooper. He remember seeing them at 5 in the morning, every other morning, on the schoolyard, way before the students get there practicing. And here you talk about you don't watch Lil Wayne much. That's fine. That's fine.
Al, I left one detail out.
It's a minor detail.
It's a minor detail, although you probably don't even need it. While Lil Wayne was Instagramming out that message, he had in his hand a doobie, a blunt. A huge fatty. All right, Al?
It was huge.
It was so big it has its own area code.
Right.
That's how big the fatty was. Now, you probably didn't notice. It wasn't like he was slurring his words or anything.
No.
But he seemed to be high out when he launched his attack on Eli.
Yeah.
All that has gone on in the last 4 days in the life of the New York Giants. And you mean to tell me the Super Bowl champs are going to go up in the middle of that oil slick and lose?
Yeah.
They're going to lose to that mess of a football team. Al, one of the worst defensive line records of the year, 31st, you know, all year out, they got 6 sacks. Six sacks in five games. They average 1 sack per game.
How many did the Eagles have?
They're running defense. You know, when you hand the ball and somebody runs, they don't pass it? They're 27th in the league. They stink. Their offensive line may be the worst in football.
Yeah.
They stink on both sides of the ball. I'm now ready with my prediction.
Oh, that's ought to be good. A wipeout, a blowout.
Final score. Joe, I need a drum roll for this. Final score. Final score. New York Giants 23, Eagles 16.
Oh.
What the hell, after you just told me all that?
Because, Al, I don't trust my team. I don't trust any one of them. I have to trust Jim Schwartz to give some help to Jalen Mills when Odell Beckham's lined up on the other side. You think he's going to do that?
No.
Then how the hell are we going to cover Odell Beckham Jr.? The first double move's a touchdown. First up, Rhea, if they do a double move one-on-one, mm-hmm. Odell on Jalen.
There will be lots
of... Is that a touchdown?
Broken TVs across the Delaware Valley.
You're right, because we all know it. They don't know it. Jim Schwartz said he's not changing his philosophy.
Mills will slip on that oil spill.
No. It's... Al, I don't trust Schwartz.
No.
There's four players I really trust on this team. Two on each side of the ball. Wentz and Ertz on offense, and Cox and, what's his name, Jenkins on defense.
Jenkins, yeah.
That's it. Four players. The rest of the guys, to me, are not even showing up this year. And I don't trust them. Al, what's your prediction? Come on, Al.
I believe Eli's going to have a big game.
He does against the Seagulls.
He does. Right. He played well against them last year. And I actually think this Lil Wayne helps them.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're playing his music at practice this week.
They're having fun with it. Just say it.
I'm afraid the Eagles are going to lose this game.
Could I have a score if it's not an imposition?
What did you tell me the weather? I'm going to say dry weather, so I'm going to say 24-21.
You put a lot of thought into that, I could tell.
Well, the weather is like, I don't know.
Rhea, I'm not going to take yours yet because it might be Eagles. And all I went...
You don't know that.
I'm going to take a chance.
But I will tell you this.
I'm going to take a chance.
If Eli lights them up and that defense terrible,
right. They
better make a decision at defense.
All right, Rhea, Eagles-Giants tonight.
If you can't beat that mess of the team, what's the point?
Come on, Rhea.
Eagles 20, Giants 17.
All right. That was not a sterling endorsement.
No, I'm telling you, if you cannot beat this team,
right. The
season is just mayhem.
No, it is. This is it. People out there, what's your prediction on the game? Lee, I'm coming to you first because Lee is a weather buff.
Ah.
And Lee will help us to know what the weather is because that should affect your prediction.
Yes.
Do you guys think the Eagles could blow this game to the biggest mess? I don't remember the Giants. Well, I guess they were like this last year when they fired the coach in the middle of the season. The Giants are a disaster, and the Eagles are going there tonight. And I don't think they're going to beat them because the Eagles are disappointing me every minute of every day this season. What do you think? 888-729-9494. WIP Sports Time 650. Ladies and gentlemen, St. Joe's, the pride of St. Joe's, the great Phil Martelli. Hi, Phil.
Angelo, how are you?
Phil, I got so much I want to ask you. I want to start with this. When do you know as a coach when it's a must win, when you got to get out of there with that game? Do you know that?
I don't acknowledge that.
Okay.
I try not to acknowledge it because, to me, there's only one game all year that is a must win, and that would be your last game of the season as you're playing for to continue playing in college basketball, the league tournament, the NCAA tournament. So during the season, I've always been a believer that if it's a must win, does it become a must-lose? In other words, if you lose, is that it?
Mm.
So, yes, this is a tough situation for both teams tonight, but they still have practice on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whenever when they gather their team again, and all is not lost.
Okay.
So I've never stopped to think this is the biggest game or this is bigger than the one 2 weeks from now or last week. This is the biggest game because it's the game right in front of them. It's always been my way of thinking, but I get the fans, I get other coaches, could be coaches on your own staff that think this is it. This is glory or gloom here tonight.
All right, so Phil, this one I want to know. So you can't acknowledge it. I get that, right? But I got to believe that you do things differently. If your team's going bad, you don't keep doing things the same way, right? You change stuff. because you realize what you're doing is not working. Don't you do that?
Yeah, you have to have a little bit of a change. Now, if you go to the extreme, let's say that they're on the field in an Eagles situation. Let's say they're on the field for an hour and 10 minutes. If all of a sudden you're on the field for 2:10, your players get it. And I think that players are creatures of habit. I think they're creatures of routine. So you have to have alterations. Maybe it's a film with a message. Maybe it's somebody different addressing the team because maybe your voice is drifting. They're drifting on your voice. But I think if you go in and turn the thing upside down, players will not react to that. But as a coach, you have to be able to put your head on the pillow saying, I did everything that I could. So, yes, a change in personnel that delivers a message, a film session that delivers a message. In some cases, I just heard a prominent coach talk about this the other day. He thinks it's healthy to throw your team out of practice.
Wow.
Once every 3 weeks.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's a – you do have to shake it up. You have to shake it up for yourself, Angela, because if you go in on a Tuesday, now this week is different for the Eagles, but if you go in on a Tuesday, it's same old, same old. I don't think you can get the most out of that practice.
So, Phil, here's the thing. You know I am not a coach. I have never coached at any level at all, nor would I be a good one. But I still had the audacity on Monday to suggest to Doug Peterson that he start yelling and screaming. Do you, as the coach of St. Joe's over your esteemed career, Phil, do you ever lose your temper in the room when you're with the kids? He's laughing. It's not a good sign.
Occasionally I've done that. First of all, Angela, let's go back.
Yeah.
There are two jobs in America that everybody can do.
Okay.
One is coach. It doesn't matter the sport and doesn't matter the level of experience. And everybody can be an auctioneer. Think about that. Whenever you've been asked to auction something, you say, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
You give no respect to the professional auctioneers.
Very true.
And you don't give it, and no one gives it to a coach either.
But how do you know when to lose it, Phil? You know you got to use it to help motivate the team. When do you lose your temper and really yell and scream?
Well, first of all, you do it when it's only you, when it's only your group. Okay. You don't do it in public. You don't do it on a singular player. You have to do it, and you have to do it in a measured way, because always in your head is, what if this doesn't work?
Mm.
So at the end of the first half the other day, if he walks into a locker room and turns it upside down, he's measuring in his mind, you know what, that's not the group that I have. And the second half isn't going to turn around. So to me, it's always best to lose it after a win.
Ah, really? So they win tonight, then you yell at them.
Yeah, if they get one tonight, and he'll say, look, the first quarter of the season is over, and this isn't to the level of talent we have in the room, the level of leadership that we have in this room, and it doesn't measure up to our expectations.
Fascinating.
So this will be a great time tonight, because they're going to probably be off until next Tuesday or Monday in the NFL.
Yep.
So it would be great for the players to get away. And the other thing about blowing up is it gives the team a rallying point, because they can look around and go, yo, you believe this guy? Instead of like being in pockets and saying, oh, he's coming after the offensive line, or he's coming after the defensive backfield, which both warrant going after. But if you can get the whole group to rally, and for that moment in time, you can, you know, it's not kumbaya, and man, coach is the greatest. He's a player's coach. He's this. It's not bad to have a little bit of tension where they look at you and say, come on, man. Come on. That's
It's so psychological, the way you do this job. All right, Phil, moment of truth here, and I don't know if this affects you at all. Al and I are both predicting victories by the Giants tonight. Phil Martelli, what are you laughing at, Phil? We're professionals. We've been doing this a long time.
I've listened for a long time, but this isn't my first time, okay? Listened for a long time, but it's not my first time. So I think this is – I've tried to go over this in my head, and I recognize, you know, many people have wanted to tell me that I've not done well this year, and I have a Super Bowl hangover. I will admit I'm still on Broad Street, and I don't drink, so it's hard to have a hangover. But I think this is the hardest game that we've had in years to predict, because you have the Giants, who you would say, well, they've imploded. But if you look at their schedule, they're really, really close. And in Beckham, they have the best player on the field by far. Mm. You have the injury now in the offensive backfield for the Eagles. Mm. Eli Manning is still Eli Manning. He has won Super Bowls. I know that his time has gone. They're getting their best pass rusher back, the Giants. It's a home game, short week. Both teams coming off of miserable losses. Saying everything there. There's just something about me that believes that tonight is not the Eagles' night. I think the Giants win this one, 24-21.
Copycat. I love you, Phil. You're the best. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Al and I agree with you.
Jeez.
We agree with you. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Major Van Winkle.
Yeah. It's like you can't see the top if you ain't never felt the bottom. Listen. Quiet when the boss is speaking, it's a long season. The top dogs got caught sleeping, it was an off weekend. But you mouth breathing morons, hate for the wrong reasons. Cause when it's done, a win don't tell us what a loss can teach us. It feels like our preseason just extended a bit. But count your blessings, kids, Wentz is a gift. We throw our middle fingers up and on the end of the tip, you see the shining bright ring of a championship. So what is this? Oh, you an expert? Your name ain't on the bill. I'm about to dye my hair green and start going as Major Mills. Or throw my fist up as soon as they take the field. Cause if you can't suffer with us, then surely you ain't for real still. What's the deal with these fake fans? Talking jive, acting like they hate Wentz and want to give Foles back his job. When our boys got no time with his own offensive line, our ginger Jesus can't always just turn water to wine. And if he did, I'd tell Lane to sip the juice again. Cause running plays for a gain are too few and thin. And if we stayed that way, we might go 2-10. But now I know we're enraged and got a new intent. And no one said a repeat would be a cakewalk. That's why I'm tired of your lame talk. We started from the bottom and we came far. This is just a late start. Even losing twice was more exciting than watching baseball. We ain't the same, y'all. We dogs with some wild aggression. Cause even during a tough loss, we showed a valiant effort. And all y'all hot takes are hot as some Italian peppers. But giving up on a sports team, man, this town would never. Cause we ain't the woe is me crying type. Even when we're close to dying, we still try and fight. They say the night is always darkest right before the dawn. I see the shining light, like at least we ain't the Giants, right? You see this NFC East that we still coexisting? I bet my college tuition we win the whole division. Cause every wound that has killed us has been self-inflicted. So when you can't talk, it still helps to listen. I hear we turned a corner. I hear we needed that. They think we landed, but we barely left the Eagles' nest. And Peterson has got the people's back. We need a rebound match real fast. So where is Eli at? New York, you're gonna lose. Cause dude, we ain't as dumb as you. Y'all took a running back at number two. If you want to dance with us Devils, come and bust a move. We got to go through you to achieve our dreams, so it seems like they'll be coming true. And they're talking like we're 0-5. Me, I'm trying to keep hope alive and think with an open mind. Because the same bozos hating, we're in line waiting, yelling dilly-dilly with a book for Nick Foles to sign. If y'all can't see the silver lining, try and look closer. What a time to face a big, giant pushover. Keep believing, Ash.
That was a masterpiece.
Thank you.
That's my favorite one you ever did.
Thank you.
You know why? Because it had a little edge to it. All right, 923. I don't know about anybody else, but when things are going bad for my team, what I always seek out is a team that is having even more dysfunction.
There you go.
And that is why we have booked the brilliant sports author, Mr. Gary Myers, author of a brand new book out called How About That's the name of the book, and he is out of line now. He also works at TheAthletic.com. A good friend, Gary Myers, is here. Hi, Gary.
You know, my next book is going to be, how about that Cataldi?
No, well, you know what? Yes, I would be happy to sit down to have the great Gary Myers write a book. But, Gary, before we get to your book, which I love some of the stuff in this book, the Giants are an even bigger mess right now than the Eagles. Is that correct?
Oh, they're a train wreck. But I did think of one thing before I want to get into this. You know, I was just talking to Joe off the air about Beckham's video with Lil Wayne.
Yes, loved it.
And I thought, like, if you ever wanted to bare your soul, you know, who would you have sitting next to you?
Yeah.
And I figured it would be Wayne Newton or somebody like that.
Yes, Wayne Newton is right. You know why? Because he is scary looking, and I would look more handsome. See, that's the way. Always surround yourself with bad-looking people. You look better.
I was just trying to think, like, who is yours? Like, maybe it would be Springsteen. I'll give you that. Maybe it would be Springsteen.
No, I got to be honest. I want a guy a little younger, Tony Bennett. Gary, listen, the Eagles are having a horrible time here. We just found out Lane Johnson may be injured now. Could you tell us how bad the situation is right now at the 1-4 Giants?
It's so bad that Beckham, who actually does love Eli, goes on TV and rips him. Pat Shurmur, who went out of his way to establish a relationship with Beckham in the off season, and was very upset when there were trade rumors in March that the Giants had had enough of Beckham, and Shurmur was basically pleading for an opportunity to coach this guy. And then in that same interview, you know, Beckham is wondering why they can't get the ball more than 20 yards down the field. And this is a guy that, I mean, they only just invested $90 million in him, so why would you expect him to be a team guy when it comes to this stuff, you know? You know, here's the funny thing about him is that when these rumors started in March that they were going to trade him, and then they weren't getting enough in return, and so the Giants came out and said that they're not going to trade him, and then his contract was hanging in the balance that, you know, they were more inclined to let him play out his fifth-year option, you know, because he was coming off a broken ankle, and he's been a knucklehead for 4 years, so they didn't necessarily want to invest in him. So for the next 4 months, Beckham was on his best behavior. He showed up for the beginning of OTAs. He was there for minicamp. He came to training camp, said, you know, I'm not leaving. If I get a new contract, I'm just going to wait it out. He talked about how much he matured. Now, it's just shocking to me, Angela. I don't mean to be cynical about this, but it's just shocking that once he signed that contract with $65 million guaranteed, Odell went back to being Odell. I mean, how surprising is that?
I would have never guessed it, Gary. I know. But the other guy they got that does look like a good guy is Barkley, right? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Saquon Barkley and how he's kind of bonded with the city so far.
Well, his numbers haven't been great. I know he's getting 100 yards total offense every game, but he is not, as a running back, carrying the ball. He's had a couple of nice runs, but overall, he's getting hit behind the line, struggling to get 1 and 2 yards. The offensive line is just pathetic. So he hasn't made the impact running the ball that I thought he might have at this point, but he's tremendous coming out of the backfield, and he is a great kid. And they don't have to worry about him peeing on the field or anything like that. or kissing the kicking net or taking his teammates on a boat trip a week before the playoffs.
Wow.
I mean, he's a good kid. You know, you guys in Pennsylvania raised him well. I know he's from the Bronx, but he grew up in Pennsylvania. He's going to be a tremendous player. They just have to get an offensive line in front of him. My concern for him is that he gets beat up so much this year and next before they can get the line straightened out that he'll never really put up the numbers that a guy with his ability is capable of. But he's been everything they've wanted of him. It's just, unfortunately for him, they don't have the support system around him in the offensive line.
All right, Gary, I'm just looking. You know, you and I do know this about football. You usually win the games in the trenches. Eagles have a better defensive line. Eagles have a better offensive line. Mm-hmm. Is there any reason why the Eagles should not win this game fairly easily tonight?
Well, it doesn't appear like anything this season is going to be easy for the Eagles, which to me was very predictable coming off a Super Bowl and celebrating it as much as they did. It's just hard to come back after you at the top of the mountain. It's so much. I won't say it's easier to win it, but it is easier to win it than to maintain, I think. That's why it's been so long since the team has repeated. The Giants did play better against Carolina the other day, and they scored 30 points for the first time, I think, since they wore leather helmets. I mean, it had been since the end of the 2015 season.
Wow.
Since they scored 30 points in a game, and that was against the Eagles, I believe, and they lost both games. They lost that game, and they lost the game on Sunday. I think that the offense is opening up a little bit now. I'm not a homer, you know that, but I do think the Giants are catching the Eagles at the right time, where there's some concern in Philadelphia about where the season is going, and Wentz isn't quite back to where he was before he got hurt. And the Giants' season is completely on the line. I mean, their season should be over at 1-4, but the NFC East stinks so much that they're still alive. So I think the Giants are going to come out with a lot of energy.
Right.
I think it's going to be a close game.
You alluded before to what we're kind of calling the Super Bowl hangover, and you've written all these books, and you've talked to some of the greatest teams. It's common that after you win, especially a first one like the Eagles did, that there's a big drop. Is that what we're experiencing right now in Philadelphia? Is that common in the NFL?
Other than the Patriots, I think it's very. The history has shown that the season after is always a struggle because you spend 4 months where you don't have to pay for dinner. Everybody's telling you how great you are. You have the ring ceremony, then the first preseason game, and the fans get to see the players for the first time. You spend such a long time getting patted on the back and celebrating that it's hard mentally, I think, to get geared back up and say, oh, we got to try to do it again now.
Yeah.
We just achieved the ultimate. Now we have to do it again. So that's why you've really seen teams have a big drop-off after winning it. And again, except the Patriots. Which
why not the Patriots, then? What did they do that the Eagles should be doing? They don't, Gary, seriously, they seem to win 5 of them. How?
Because they have the best quarterback ever.
And he just never lets up.
And he's the hardest worker on the team. Mm. And he doesn't stand for anybody being lazy or complacent. And he sets the tone. Mm. I think he sets the tone more than the coach does. Wow. Because you don't want Tom Brady yelling at you. And he does do that. And so these players, and they're basically interchangeable parts in New England. There's such a big turnover in personnel every year. They're all there to please Brady. And they all feel like their job is on the line every week because the coach is liable to get rid of anybody. Hmm. So they're always motivated.
Gary, who are you picking tonight?
I know you're not going to like me for this.
No, I'm picking the Giants.
Oh, okay. Right. I think the Giants are going to play a really good game tonight. You know, it's a short week. They've been hearing about the Beckham stuff all week. I think this team is pretty ticked off.
Mm.
I just see them putting forth a really good effort. I mean, I don't think they're going to have a good season overall.
Right.
But, again, like I said before, I think they're catching the Eagles at the right time. They have some injuries, and I know there's some restless Eagles fans in Philly now, and the Eagles have been hearing it for the last few weeks about what's wrong. So, I mean, I definitely think the Eagles are a better team.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're going to win the game.
Another insult to our intelligence. Gary, how about them Cowboys? Brand new book. I know you covered them for years. I used to cover football when you did cover the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. What will an Eagles fan enjoy in the book? You know how much we hate them. And if there's a really good story that will make us hate Jerry Jones more or Jimmy Johnson or something, is there something in there that we will savor as Philadelphia Eagle fans?
Oh, for sure. Because I tell people that nobody's indifferent about the Cowboys, as you know. You either love them or you hate them. And
right.
It's kind of a cliche, but it's really true with them. And I think I wrote a very balanced book where I talk about what an incredible businessman Jerry Jones is, but how his major failing has been not only having the title of general manager, but actually being the general manager. One of my favorite stories from the book is what actually happened in the draft room in 2014 when Johnny Manziel was on the board. Oh. And the Cowboys really hadn't paid much attention to him to that point because they thought he was going to get drafted ahead of him. And then, like, the day before the draft, everybody realized Manziel's going to drop. And Jerry is, like, walking around like it's Christmas because he wanted Manziel. And then he found out that not one other person in the organization wanted Manziel. And so they're sitting in the draft room, and the Cowboys' first three guys on their board that they wanted was Anthony Barr, Aaron Donald, and Ryan Shazier, all defensive players. They all went ahead of him. Shazier went right ahead of him. And all of a sudden, like, everybody's face in the Cowboys draft room got, oh, my God, we're going to have to deal with Jerry now. He went around the room begging for one person to agree with him on Manziel. Begging. And everybody goes, no, Jerry, we can't do that. No, Jerry, we can't do that. He turns to Steven, who's sitting next to him. He goes, son, we got to take Manziel. And he goes, Dad, nobody wants him but you. And so they call the pick of Zach Martin, which turned out to be a great pick.
Yeah.
They call it into the New York office, and Jerry goes, well, wait a minute. So there's someone, they're all celebrating. Mm. Jerry goes, wait a minute. We haven't made the pick yet. And they go, no, Jerry, we just called it in. It's Zach Martin. He turns to Steven, who's sitting next to him, and slaps him on the leg so hard,
wow,
kind of the sound kind of bounced off the walls, and he says to him, son, let me tell you something. I didn't get to this point in my life by playing things down the middle. I'm a risk taker. And you just went right down the middle. And if this is the way you're going to live your life, you're never going to be a success.
Wow. That is nasty.
And Steven was hurt. Not so much by the slap on the leg, because that probably didn't hurt him, but he was really hurt by his father's words, because Steven felt he was sticking up for the organization.
Wow.
By making sure they didn't take a guy who was a complete train wreck.
And, I love it.
You know, obviously, he's been proven to be right, but there's lots of stories. There's really good Parcells stories in the book. I heard. Rhea,
yeah, I'm right up against
earlier.
The break here. I just want to tell everybody, it's a Gary Myers book, so it's filled with awesome stuff. You're at Reed, how about them Cowboys? We'll get the next time in. I wanted to tell the story about Parcells and the $100,000 checks, because I would like that too. Because you know what I'm guessing, Gary? Like, you get a lot of these checks for all the books you wrote every month. Isn't it nice when a little check comes in?
Oh, it's a 7 or 8 figure check. You're right.
Did I tell you?
Yeah.
This guy's rolling in cash, Gary Myers.
Right.
Gary, always a huge honor. Read him on theathletic.com and get his new book. How about them Cowboys? Gary, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on. Right. Have a great day.
So good. Al, he said it. He's there in the middle of all that dysfunction.
Jeez.
And he picked the Giants. That's scary. 888-729-9494. We're going to run the board when we come back. We got a lot of great callers. You get your shot next. WIP Sports Time, 9:36.
Angelo Cataldi. Mornings, 5:30 till 10 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.